This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A very simple question in regards to the Steelers. After losing three in a row, it's not a question of what's going on the field, though. It's more a question of philosophy from the top down. And very simple, are the Steelers doing things the right way? I.e., are they pushing their decisions forward with the right philosophies behind them? This is a team that in the offseason said, no, there's no way we're going to give you that big guaranteed contract, Le'Veon Bell. This is a team that says, no, we will not negotiate with players in season. This is a team that says, I don't know if our head coach really needs an analytics or a replay review guy. We're not necessarily going to do away with our kicker, despite the fact that he hasn't made a big one for us in over a year. They are traditional in the way they do things, and that's long been part of why they've been so successful over the years.
Yeah, I just go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. To bring it back to the original, very simplified question of, are they still doing things the right way?
Yeah, I just wrote a column and posted it to this very point, and that's where the discussion spawned, right? And we talked about this pre-show. And you can check it out at 937thefan.com, by the way. Could the Steelers' method of operation be going the way of the typewriter or the daily newspaper? Could they be doing that old, that's the way we've always done it, and maybe that's the way you've always done it needs to have a tinker or a change? Because we know this. Let's be real. And let's take that first point that you brought up, Mike Tomlin, right? I think even if Mike Tomlin goes 0-3 in these last couple games, a bad Jacksonville loss, a terrible, ill-prepared Jacksonville game and a loss in the playoffs, and then missing the playoffs this year, they're just going to look at that as he had one bad season, and they're not going to fire him. We all know how it's going to work in Pittsburgh.
They haven't fired a head coach in half a century.
It's 1779 is the last time they fired a coach. So Mike Tomlin will still be here next year. Should they at least investigate the possibility of firing him? And I don't even think it'll be investigated. So when you look at it from, and this isn't a call to Mike to fire Mike Tomlin, it's a look philosophically at the way that the processes are done. Also, when they leave camp, right, and camp is over and it gets into the real season, and this hasn't really bitten them, I don't think, in the backside yet, Jim, but is it anything more than the Rooneys looking down on the player and the agent and saying, and offering an arbitrary timeline on, we're done negotiating, we're finished, you can't talk to us anymore, you need to come to us by this date or we're done? Is it really that much of a distraction in season if you go ahead and do a contract with an agent? You're not talking to the player.
It may depend on how many guys are in that situation. You know, like if you got like a handful of let's say you got like five or six key players,
right,
that are in that situation, and one guy gets a deal and the other, you know, four or five do not, then that might be, I think that's where that philosophy comes from.
But they're the only team that has that hard and fast that timeline, that if we don't get it done by camp, it's not happening.
I think there should be an exception for every rule. That just happens to be one of them.
I think there's
but
an adherence.
But they have none.
Yeah. Right. There's an adherence to tradition here, and rightfully so, because of the way the franchise has operated successfully for decades now. There's an adherence to tradition that can sometimes stand in the way of progress.
Well, there's an adherence to tradition, and it's great whenever you're winning.
Yes.
But what have the Steelers won in the past 5 years?
10 years, for that matter.
People can ask that question. It's great when things are working. And when things are getting done and you're winning Super Bowls and you're going to AFC Championship games, but and we celebrate it. We love nostalgia in Pittsburgh. But maybe it's time, and to the point about, okay, Mike Tomlin said about the replay stuff. Now, I like to coach by feel, and it's just the way I've always done it. I've taken that on my shoulders, and I'm the guy who makes that decision. Those are his words, not mine.
That's great. Woody Hayes liked to throw the ball 8 times a game.
Exactly, and then you keep up with the Joneses.
Yes.
Well, Sean McVay decided that part of what he was doing when he started coaching, he did the same thing. And a couple weeks in, he said, wait a minute. This is a lot of responsibility. I'd like to have somebody, a quality control guy, in my ear helping me out with this replay stuff. And he put somebody on staff. That's one of their responsibilities. that's the way we've always done it. Get you in a lot of trouble. A ton of trouble.
Because it keeps you from evolving.
Progressing. Yes.
And look, a lot of this comes from, you know, the knee-jerk reaction to the Oakland loss and the three-game losing streak and the way things have gone, really going all the way back to last year's loss in the playoffs. But there is also a quality to that knee-jerk reaction sometimes, in that it creates a passion and a call to action, or a need, an immediate need that needs to be served, and say, hey, we've got to change the way we're doing things because it hasn't worked. And I understand the adherence to tradition keeps you from making rash decisions, but it can also keep you from making the decisions, the hard decisions that sometimes need to be made.
One thing they need to change is the way they evaluate secondary players. They haven't drafted and developed good secondary players since Troy and Ike.
Right.
And that's like 15 years ago, mm-hmm. we're talking about. And, you know, all the guys they have right now, Cam Sutton they drafted, but and he may get in the mix. But the other guys, if you thought, you know, Sensabaugh is a veteran from outside, Joe Hayden, of course, is, and then Mike Hilton is a free agent, you know, undrafted free agent who bounced around. But they, you know, and everybody says this all the time, but if they could pick out defensive backs the way that they were able to pick out receivers, you know, things would be a lot different on the defensive
side
of the ball.
Yeah, but that's just a selection. That's a decision. I'm talking about more traditional processes.
Oh, okay,
but which is entirely different.
The way they evaluate guys, maybe that's flawed.
You're right about that too. You could be.
Whatever their system is for doing that.
The overarching philosophies
and protocols, they're silly.
Don't feel like they've kept up with the times.
No.
And yes, again, part of what has made the franchise what it is the adherence to tradition. But do you feel like that's also holding them back? I like this. Somebody texted in. The fire department, they have a saying, 100 years of tradition unimpeded by progress. You can do things the same way over and over and over again and say, well, that's the way we've always done things around here. Or you can look at where mistakes have been made by doing things the same way over and over and over again, where doors have been opened for errors to occur, and say, you know what, let's shut that door and make sure that mistake doesn't happen again. Let's change. Let's innovate. Let's evolve.
I'm not in this camp, but some will say part of this, too, is what falls in line here, is the Le'Veon Bell contract situation, that they didn't offer enough guaranteed money, mm-hmm. that other teams were willing to offer more guaranteed money, and now look where the Steelers running back situation is. I am not there, but the people who make that argument that the Steelers, they don't front load contracts, they're not going to offer that guaranteed money, that they have a way in which that they structure contracts, is also antiquated.
I understand that. I would grant more credence to that if it weren't the running back position.
Right.
But I almost look at, you know, something that didn't happen this season. And we said at the time, when it did not go down, we're going to continue to look back on this week after week after week, and that was the refusal to do something at the trade deadline to fortify your secondary. And that's another thing that is this antiquated way of, well, you know what, we don't like to make trades in season because we don't know if the guys can pick up on the system, and then there's this, and then there's that. Well, you know what? The Cowboys did all right for themselves going out and making a trade at the deadline. They've breathed new life into their offense with Amari Cooper.
Okay, part of the old school stuff that maybe they hold to is they weren't going to go get Patrick Peterson. Mm-hmm. They were going to ride it out. They were going to do the things that they had in-house, and they weren't going to go and
or
swing
any
a
other
deal.
Corner that was available.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Or anybody, and bring him in. Now, they stepped away from that a little bit by what they did with Joe Hayden, right?
Yes.
But it hasn't been full form. It's like the rest of the league is doing things that the Steelers are absolutely loath to do. And the only reason, some would think, is because, well, that's the way we've always done it.
And the Hayden signing, as much as anything else, was due in large part to guys in the room lobbying and saying, hey, Kevin, we know this guy can help us. We can't believe he's available. Can you please get him? We need this guy. He would help us. And I'm sure some of that happened this year within the season as the trade deadline approached. Heck, Ramon Foster said it right here on our show. Yes, we talk about guys like Patrick Peterson and how they can help the team, but that's another way of saying, you know what, I don't know, we're not so sure about these newfangled ideas.
Well, and you know what, you bring up a great point, because you have the guys whose boots are on the ground and mm-hmm. the players in that Patrick Peterson situation say, man, you had guys tweeting.
Yes. Come on.
So it's coming from the boardroom, it's coming from the top, that maybe that they're the people who need the urging from the people who are kind of in the fight.
And look at this organization. And this is not a knock on anybody, because again, tradition is what's been part of the Steelers' organizational success over the last half century. But look at this organization and tell me who the person is who's going to step out of line, so to speak, pound on the table and say, we need to change.
Well, and some people can protract that out and say, you know what? That's what gives Mike Tomlin the hubris, is the word that some people have used, to make a decision within an AFC game in which you got to win to say, you know what? We don't need to push Ben back in his game. We could talk about some X-ray machine and do that, because they ain't going to fire me. They don't do that around here.
Yeah.
There's no urgency for me to have a fire underneath my backside. They don't do that in Pittsburgh. Whereas in other places, he could have handled the situation.
They don't fire both coordinators at the same time in the same offseason because, well, that's a lot of change. Well, as we see, now one coordinator has been left around, and it's been a problem this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just another one of these moves that you look at and say, if only they'd been a little bit more progressive.
I think this is topically it's something that people want to weigh in on. I really do.
Yes.
I think people are starting to look at this and say, something that we trusted for generations, now when you don't get results, is it okay to not trust that? It was like sacrilege to speak out against this before.
Right, something that people looked at as a point of pride. Yeah, the Steelers don't change for anybody. They're the Steelers. That's the way they do things. Well, the way they do things hasn't led to a championship in 10 years. Is it time to do some things a little bit differently? And moreover, if we're going to ask that question, what things do they need to do differently?
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.